Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Well, here's the question. Have you been holed up during this Gulf Coast Arctic blast? Are you ready to get back into the woods and on the water? Well, this morning we're going to have some tips for picking up the pieces that are left and exploring what changes we can predict that'll happen from this local phenomenon that's affecting fish and seafood, birds and wildlife, and yes, us humans. In fact, we had at least 7 duck hunters were rescued this week by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents, enforcement agents. That's what they do in their spare time. And, you know, one of those major impacts can come in the form of fish kills. Have you witnessed any? Have you heard of any? Now, you may not detect dead or dying or compromised fish that may eventually die from the cold for some time. Normally it takes some time for the bodies to float up when the waters warm up a little bit. And sometimes those fish are just so severely impacted that they don't survive because they can't feed and recover from the cold. So still got to keep your eyes peeled, and I have to this point only heard some second and third-hand information about some numbers of dead and dying fish, but perhaps we'll hear more. And if you know of any, we'd like to hear from you this morning at 504-260-1870. That's our talk and text line, mostly text line on this show. We appreciate you if you participate. And in case you haven't heard, well, it's going to be a wide-open season on sharks, at least 2 species in Louisiana waters. We'll tell you more about that. Still some good waterfowl hunting opportunities left, especially those wonderful speckle-belly geese. If you've never hunted them, or even if you have and you want to learn how to set up and really do some championship-type calling, I invite you to watch our Bayou Wild TV episode that's airing this week called Champions of the Call. We were with 2 state champion duck and goose callers. That's talking about Mike Smith of LADuckHunts.com and also Hayden Richard. Check it out. You can find all the local listings and channel and even watch it on our website at BayouWildTV.com. And did you hear the one about a trespassing, thermal imaging, drug-possessing, illegal deer-killing man from Marangouin? Well, stick around, and you will, because he's also our bad boy of the outdoors. And if you did have, and I know a lot of you hadn't even gone out, but if you happen to have, maybe yesterday you snuck out, had a successful fishing or hunting trip during the blizzard week, we'd like to include it along with your comments and your questions. We'll add it to the reports we'll get from our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting, and your message comes real-time to the studio, 504-260-1870. One other thing we're going to talk about, our bait of the day, is going to be the jerkbait. Do you use jerkbaits? If you do, which one do you prefer? When do you use it, and how do you work it? We'll be talking with some of our captains about that. I'd like to hear from you, too. Coastal Marine Forecast, if you're headed out, here's what the forecast is in the Gulf of America. We're going to have some east winds, 8 to 15 knots, 1 to 2-foot seas. Tomorrow, southeast winds, 8 to 15, also 1 to 2-foot seas. On the interior lakes and bays, this morning you're going to face an east wind about 6 to 12, fairly light. And switching around a little bit more southeasterly tomorrow, again, 6 to 12 in the intensity. Got a lot of tide moving, 1.7, and boy, I heard from a lot of people there's a lot of absence of water out there, which impacted potential trips. Mississippi River, surprisingly a low 3.9 and continuing to fall, but I'm sure that's going to change. All right, the stage is set. We're going to be back to talk to Robbie Campo, who had an excellent deer hunt. Now, I know there's not a whole lot of fishing reports gathered from this week to pass along, so we'll kind of look for some tips to do some post-freeze fishing, and we'll talk hunting because it's prime hunting season still going on, and Robbie bagged a very nice buck up in Tallulah. We'll get him to tell the story when we come back right after this pause. You are listening to, in its 36th year, The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And what you're going to probably find at Campo's this morning is frozen shrimp. A lot of us were frozen this week. Let's talk to Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. Robbie, I know there wasn't a lot of fishing reports to gather up this week because of the weather. Not very many people at all went out unless you could walk to a spot and maybe fish from the bank, and you know, even at that was pretty uncomfortable to do that. But hunting is good, and you had a really good trip up to Tallulah, bagged a nice buck, and I got to compliment you on whoever shot that video. That's some excellent video work on the kill.
Yeah, it was. I got invited to a friend of mine that has a camp over here in Fort Beauregard, Augie Gilliatt, and you know, he kept telling me, "Oh yeah, you got to come with me. You got to come with me." So he called, and I said, "Yeah, I'll go." I mean, we had nothing else going on around here, so I jumped in a truck and I avoided all the snow. I got because we didn't have any snow up there. Just a couple little flurries the morning, Tuesday morning, that the snow hit here. So I said, "Well, we went up there and we hunted hard." I tell you, Don, last evening hunt and this eight, you know, he was a good management 8-pointer. He walked out, he was 235 pounds, probably a little bit run down from the, you know, from the rut, chasing so hard up there, but he got to take him, and it was he dropped right in his tracks. I didn't have to go look for him. He was just
what round was a one shot boom gun. What round did you use to?
It was a 30-yard six, 150 grain Federal Fusion is what I used, and it did the trick, man. It dropped him right in his tracks.
That's what you want. Well, I guess you won't be invited back. Go up there and kill a good deal like that off the man's place. Huh?
No. There's plenty to go around up there. Diamond Island is something like you've never seen.
Oh yeah.
If you ever get the chance to experience Diamond or Davis or Togo Island, and anybody ever asks you to go and you don't go, you're missing it. You missed a boat, man, because those places, those Oxbow Islands up there along
special.
That river is just
special.
Something to. Oh yeah, it is. They got it. They got a, you know, something there, Don. That's you know, you got to have a lot of money to be in it. It's out of my league. That's all I can say.
Yeah, but,
I got invited to go and I went.
Yeah, you
so
did the right
you,
thing,
Don. So this morning here, the water's extremely low, and you know, we thought we would have a redfish jubilee here, but it has not happened so far. I see people set up there this morning trying, so hopefully, they will catch something. But that's not a good sign if we don't have any fish up there for what's going to be for this spring, you know. So my dad went riding around yesterday in a boat to see if there was any fish kill. They did not find any fish kill, so never found the first dead one. Now, I did see some pictures on Facebook over by Grand Isle. They had, you know, some that got trapped in some low water and died. But, you know, had a little bit of a fish kill. But I think you're going to have some, just not, you know, I don't think it's going to be, it's not near what we had in 89. So it's not going to be anything like that. So I think for the most part, these fish are going to be okay. What just worries me is we didn't have any kind of a jubilee so far up in these bayous where they get every year, and that's not a good sign for what's going to, you know, what the spring's going to be.
Well, let's
now,
hope that water was just
a couple
extremely
weeks ago.
Cold. Yeah, let's just hope the water
was
just
water
so
was
cold.
The water was 43 degrees. So now it's 39 this morning. So I mean, it may happen today. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now,
well, redfish can
down
usually
here this morning.
I was going to say redfish are usually good to about 30 degrees. Now, once you get below 40 on speckled trout, that's when they start getting in trouble. So they got to get out of Dodge in 30-degree weather.
And, you know, and this morning on a ride down was anywhere from 30 to 30, 32 degrees. So, I mean, you know, air temperature.
Right.
So, but the water is 39 this morning. Mm-hmm. Just checked it right here at the buoy. So, I mean, it's pretty cold. So maybe they'll be in there today. I don't know. But I tell you, Don, you was talking about jerk baits a little while ago.
Yep.
Jerk baits work really well, and that's what's been working around here in these parts. Mira Lewis has been great. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I don't know a whole lot about jerk baits, and I said this before, I never use them much, but I think Marker 54 makes a jerk bait. I think that's what the guy was telling us, a Marker 54 jerk bait. They go down about 3 feet, 4 feet, and he said that was a very effective bait also. Before this cold weather happened. So, but I don't know if your bait's going to do you much good today, I tell you. Not with water temperatures being in 39 degrees. If you are going to ride around today in a boat, be very, very careful. The water is extremely, extremely low. So, we don't need anybody stuck. Or have to get anybody from CETO to come get you, because that's going to be it's going to be a costly deal if you're not a CETO member. And if you know where you're going, go. If you don't know where you're going, don't do it. Today's not the day to do that. So, with that said, we have frozen shrimp and we got live minnows. Don, if you're coming down, we're here. So, if you're coming down, we got plenty of duck hunters this morning.
Yeah.
Now, if you're coming down and you want to go fishing, hook the left at the bridge and come on and see us.
All right, be looking for your report next week. See how the recovery comes and see if this cold weather did indeed bring some ducks to the Biloxi Marsh. Hope they did that, too. Thanks for the report, Robbie.
Yep.
Congratulations on that buck, man. You had a good deer season. You got to be happy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I sure am. Thank you, Don.
Right.
Looking forward to turkey season now.
I'm with you there. All right, let's go get them. Robbie Campo.
All right,
Campo's
bye-bye.
Marina in Shell Beach. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to get to some information about reporting dead fish or dying fish, and also talk a little bit more about those crankbaits, and get to your text messages at 504-260-1870. And you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Network. All right, a couple things we're asking you to participate in this morning. Jerk baits, what do you know about them? Do you use them? Which one do you prefer? How do you fish with it? And when do you use it? Don't, you know, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got from a professional fisherman with regard to jerk baits was, he told me this. He said, when you're fishing a crankbait, which is different, you fish with the reel. When you're reeling it straight in, it has its own movement. Quick and side to side. You can stop it and start it, but basically you just drag a crankbait through and it does its own thing. A jerkbait's different. You move the jerkbait with the rod. You put the rod, you kind of tuck it under in the crook of your arm, and you do a back and forth, up and down motion, and that simulates a wounded or dying or compromised fish, and sometimes will stimulate a strike. But instead of doing it on top with a topwater, you're down where the fish are more likely to be in some cases, and that's my theory on fishing a crankbait, a jerkbait. What is yours? We'll get some tips on that from some of our professional fishermen, too. By the way, my favorite is the, well, some people pronounce it Rapala. I call it a Rapala, and that's my favorite jerkbait. All right, let's get to some of your text messages. This one says, good morning, Don. The match director checking in with a question. Are there boat hoists anywhere to be found like Battistella's and Empire, Hopedale Marina, or have they all gone the way of the dodo bird? By the way, dodo is D-O-D-O, not the way you spelled it as a female whitetail. Anyway, people, why don't you text me? If you've got a place that you know of that has a hoist, I'm not sure which area you're looking for, just text it to me at 504-260-1870. We'll pass it along to the match director. All right, here's a report of a fish kill in Lafitte. Specks were seen floating dead, and that's not the first time I've heard that since the weather, the bottom fell out in the thermometer. All right, here's one says, good morning, Mr. Don. We're hunting in St. Francisville Tuesday and Wednesday after the snow. No deer. They didn't like the snow, I guess. I figured they would move to eat. Have to work at Exxon today, but we'll try Sunday. Thanks for the show, Slim Dunbar. Yeah, it can happen. You would think that they would be on the move, particularly in the snow, but more likely from people I talked to that were in it, they were more hunkered down. Here's JT in Varnado. He says, is the rumor about deer season extended 2 days due to the freeze? True. Thanks. JT, I think that's exactly what it is, a rumor. I have not heard anything about that. And you got to think about, you know, other states, snow is common during deer season, and they don't make any special dispensations. I guess another way to look at it is people couldn't get out because of frozen roads, so the pressure was less. Can we extend? I don't think you're going to see that. Now, the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission and the secretary has the authority to close seasons due to emergencies, but to extend them, we have had snapper season extended. I don't know. It's maybe a slight possibility, but I think it's strictly a rumor. I don't think you're going to see that. Here's one that says, I know this may be a little early, but I was just thinking on my drive to work. That's a good time to think. When is the best time to head offshore to the rigs to catch the king mackerel migration this spring? Love your show. Springtime, you know, late February, March, April, those are all good months to catch up with that king mackerel. And you can do that in the newly named hotspot, the Gulf of America. How about that? All right, old friend Wingbone over in Wilmer, Alabama, he said it was a challenge last week. He didn't see any deer at his feeder either. And he worked on two turkey calls, and they're headed to North Carolina. Well, let me know if they work up there, Wingbone. I'm sure they do. The old snake doctor is checking in with an announcement. New Orleans fly fishers are going to have a fly fishing expo today from 8 to 4. It's at the church on 3900 St. Christopher's Gym. And 3900 Durbigny Street in Metairie, beginners to pros, it's absolutely free, 8 to 4. Here's one that says, the pink mirror lure jerkbait has always been great in the Delacroix area. And then we got this one, Mike from Mississippi, did very well fishing the day after the snow. From lunch to that evening, we saw a few mullet between 6 and 8 inches floating dead on the water. Here's one says, how do you think the snow affected the crawfish season Popcorn in Waggaman. Oh, that's popcorn in Waggaman. Cold weather, you know, not necessarily snow, but frigid weather, yeah, certainly sets the crawfish season back a little bit, but it's not going to have any devastating results, I would not think. The backstrap stacker, he's one of our regulars. He's up in Clark County this weekend. The bucks are chasing. It's rut time in Alabama. He says it's on. All right, thank you all for your text. If you got something you want to add to the show, 504-260-1870. This kind of slipped in this week. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries announced that recreational fishermen now can keep any size, any quantity of black tip and bull sharks. This went into effect on the 20th. Not many people were fishing offshore on the 20th. Anyway, these new regulations, be aware, they're only in state waters. And you need to be aware that the regulations are different in federal waters. What do you think about that? Is it too little? Is it not enough? Should they have extended into the entire Gulf of America waters instead of just state waters? But you can, as of now, keep any quantity and any size. That's a big change, both black tip and bull shark. So you got to brush up on your shark identification for sure. All right, you find any dead fish, report it here, but also report it to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. They have a special page set up on the website. They're going to want your name, your phone number, in case they need to get back with you. Give them good directions about the quantity of fish that you saw, what species, and what their condition was. Were they dying? Were they floundering on the water? Were they already dead, decomposing, whatever? And you've got to be aware, whatever the limits are, those are in effect, as well as legal methods of take and taking fish, be it past those regulations, is illegal. All right, we come back after this. I got some more announcements for you. We'll get to some more of your text messages. Jerkbaits, you fish them, you like them, when do you use them, where do you use them? We'll be back to talk with you about that right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got some text messages coming. This one says, I like the Rapala, or Rapala, I like to pronounce that, number 11 jerkbait in black and silver. I also like the Broken Back model. Excellent lure that catches a lot of bass. That's from my friend, the big man Bassin in Covington. Yeah, that's great bait. And, you know, the thing about jerkbaits, you can go either way with them. They catch both bass, and they also catch speckled trout and some other saltwater species, too. Got to comment on jerkbait fishing, what you like, where you use it, when's the best time to use it. Text me, 504-260-1870. And we'll be back with some more of your text messages and a couple of announcements right after we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we have, we got this one coming in. It says, we don't all appreciate your politics, Don. I put up with your denial of climate change. Well, thank you very much for tolerating my opinion. But quit with the Gulf of America. Hurting your show. That's from Miriam in Lacombe. In case you haven't heard, the official name has been changed from Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America, and that's what I was referring to. And I believe you have your opinion. You're entitled to it. You just had it. Please let me have mine, Miriam. What would y'all like to say? Anybody got a message for Miriam from Lacombe this morning? 504-260-1870. Here's one that says, Gulf of America. Love it. That's from Slim. Here's one that says, I'm going to give it one last shot this weekend. Pun intended. Yeah, we get it on the shot. Favorite jerkbait, Matrix Jerkbait. Pretty good success with that. That's from Big Easy and the Abita Hunting Club. Well, good luck to you, Easy. And let's see, we got Love the Frog Color Mirror Lure doing overcast days in City Park. Walking the dog lands some nice largemouth. That's from Land Yap Randy. Jay Bulls checking in from the duck capital of the world. In lieu of Steel Man's absence, they had an extra bowl of gumbo last night and an extra cup of coffee this morning. Being guided by GGS, hoping to finish the season strong with Snow Mo Gaydon. That's a new one. All right, here's one that says, have you tried off-the-hook seafood in Hammond? I have not. Great food at fair prices. If you like it, continue. All right, text messages are welcome, 504-260-1870. And, yeah, I made some gumbo this week myself, some quail and venison sausage into some Uncle Larry's Ready Set Gumbo. You know, wasn't much to do. Once I got finished working around the office, the roads were all shut down, couldn't really go anywhere except where I could walk. And I took my German short hair pointer, Smokey, and she had a fun time romping in the snow. We played some fetch. And she enjoyed that. But otherwise, had some time to work a little gumbo. It doesn't take you long when you use Uncle Larry's Ready, Set, Gumbo. Good product. All right, we got a mention to you, speckle-belly goose hunting with two calling champions, Mike Smith and Hayden Richard. That's what's on Bayou Wild Television this week. And one of the parts of it, one segment, is John Foltz, our favorite chef, cooking a speckle-belly goose with orange marmalade. Whew, that was some good stuff. I can taste it now. Anyway, go to our website, which is BayouWildTV.com, and you can look up the different stations, the cities, where it broadcasts, and the times. Or if you can't find a station near you, you can watch it anywhere in the United States on our website at BayouWildTV.com. It's on our YouTube channel there, as all of our shows are. All right, let's see. Here's one that says, let Miriam know her radio has a dial. Turn it. Well, we like her to listen. I don't want her to not listen to us. But, you know, she has her place with her politics and her opinions, and I've got mine, and you've got yours. That's what makes this country great. All right, here's one. Good morning, Don Roland Cortez and Dave Bayou crew are having a great year. What are y'all having a great year on, both ducks and geese or one or the other? Roland, good to hear from you. He's always up early on Saturday mornings getting ready to take some people out hunting. All right, here's something I wanted to mention to you. It's coming up next month, February. It's 22nd and 23rd, Saturday and Sunday. It's called Troops and Tusk, and this is a fundraising wild hog tournament. And you can get involved in several ways. You can go hunting and participate, get an entry fee and win some prizes, or you can participate in the auction and come out there. And all of this is for veterans. And Derek Poor, you'll be hearing from him. We'll get him on the program. Going to be some good entertainment out there. DJ Kent Sonier is going to be there. Swampland Revival will be playing. And it's going to be a great time at the Delcrum Shrimp Festival Grounds. That's on Main Street in Delcrum. Saturday and Sunday, February 22nd and 23rd. Opens from noon to 8 on Saturday. Also got Prentice James. He's going to be out there. And Bad Boys. How about that? That's an entertaining group. Anyway, looking forward to that. It's been a great event. Raises funds badly needed for our veterans, and they certainly deserve it. All right, we come back after this. Going to get a Toledo Bend freshwater fishing report with Captain Josh Sykes of Bent Rods Guide Service, and also some advice on how to pick up the pieces and fish after a hard, hard freeze passes through freshwater-wise. Josh is next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's time to talk a little freshwater fishing. Let's do that with Captain Josh Sykes of Bent Rods Guide Service in Toledo Bend. Josh, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm warming up. I'm finally regaining some circulation. We're just not used to this down here, and you guys probably aren't either. What were any of the effects that you saw up there during this big freeze?
Well, man, our water temps cooled down to the mid-40s, which is about as cold as I've seen them for up here on Toledo Bend. Yesterday, the water temps was 45, and the fish are still biting, but you've got to slow down a lot to catch them.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk about the bass fishing this time of the year up there. I guess they're in a pre-spawn stage right now?
Typically they would be, but this year looks like it may be a little bit later just because the water temps are so low. All the shad have moved out into the river channel, and so that's where most of all of our bass are being caught right now as well. We're just chasing balls of shad out in the river, out in 50 to 60 foot of water, but the fish are only about 10 to 15 foot under the surface.
So what are you using to get down there to them?
We're just throwing a jig head with a minnow on it, throwing like a quarter ounce or a half ounce jig head with like a 3.5 to 4 inch minnow on the back of it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's effective. But if somebody wanted to throw a plastic, strictly artificial, what would you suggest?
Now, if I was going to throw a plastic, there are some fish in the grass on the south end of the lake, and you can slow down really, really slow with a big, like a big brush hog on a Texas rig or a big ribbon tail worm, and just slowly, methodically work it through that grass in about 8 to 10 foot of water. We've been getting a few bites up there as well.
Jerk baits. We're talking jerk baits this morning. Do you use those? And if you do, which ones do you use and when do you use them?
I do. So I use jerk baits doing a couple of different things. Those suspended fish we're catching out over the river, they will come up and eat a jerk bait, and I'm throwing a mega bass Vision 110. And then also up in the creeks around that grass and stumps and stuff on the side of those creek channels in that 10 foot of water or so, I'm throwing around those stumps and grass and get just slowly stopping it and letting them swim up out of the grass and come and eat it. And it's pretty cool to watch on a live scope. You can actually see those fish underneath your jerkbait. And when you pause it, you let it sit there for sometimes 20 or 30 seconds. They'll slowly swim up to it and eat it.
Huh. Another lesson learned via the live scope, huh? Who would have thought 20 or 30 second delay to let it sit there? I would have never thought that you'd let it sit there idle that long.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to with really cold water like we have right now.
Well, let's talk crappie a little bit. Well, we had a great crappie trip with you guys up there. How's that faring out?
Man, the crappie bite picked up this week. We're catching them pretty good up around the chicken coop area of the lake, which has always been the most popular area when the water gets real cold. It's just fishing standing timber on the side of the river. The timber's in about 20 foot of water, and it's not really a time of year you're going to come catch 100 crappie, but you can come catch 40, 50, 60 crappie, but they're some giant slabs, some two-pound crappie mixed in, and a lot of fun catching them around that timber. It's not like our brush piles where you pull up and there's hundreds of them down there, but if you pull up on a piece of timber and it's got 10 fish on it, you're typically going to catch 8 or 10 of them.
And you're using shiners or jigs?
Jigs seem to work better with the cold water, bright-colored jigs, like a black and chartreuse or a black and pink or, any sort of pink or chartreuse hues seem to work the best when the water gets real cold like it is now.
Josh, what's boat traffic like this time of year up there at Toledo Bend? Pretty light?
Actually, it's heavier than you would imagine. The cold don't scare people off because we have tournament season coming up, and so a lot of tournament anglers out here practicing. Just yesterday, I bet I saw 10 or 15 of the Bassmaster Elite Series pros that are going to be on Conroe the next week. Just over here messing around, wasting time to get to Conroe.
Yeah, good place to do it for sure. Well, Josh, it sounds like things are going. We'll be looking forward to the brim bite, too, but that's a ways off.
Yes, sir, it is. We're still a few months away from that.
Well, very good. Josh, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, I know you're very helpful in teaching them how to fish the bend, as they call it, for both species, and also you can help them out with locating some lodging and accommodations up there in the bend. Tell them how to get a hold of you guys.
Yeah, so they can go to our website at www.bentrodsguideservice.com. They can find us on Facebook, look up Bent Rods Guide Service, or they can call me directly at 318-308-5818.
All right, and I have that number. If someone couldn't jot it down and like to get it, I'll pass it along to them. Josh, thanks so much for the tips and advice. Look forward to getting them from you each and every week, and we'll pass them along to our listeners. Stay warm up there.
We'll try. Appreciate it, Don.
All righty. Captain Josh Sykes up on the bend, as they call it, Toledo Bend. All right, we got some more fishing reports coming up. Daryl Carpenter's going to check in with us from Grand Isle. Grand Isle had snow. I don't know. I'm sure they've had it before, but it might have been 100 years or so before that happened. We'll try to get a little bit of historical accounting from Daryl when we talk to him. Looking at some more of the text messages, we were talking about somebody wanted to know if it was a rumor if Louisiana was going to extend the deer season. And another texter quoted that Mississippi has extended its deer season. It has, but it wasn't done because of the weather. It's not the entire state of Mississippi. There's certain areas, and it's on private land only, and that would be what's considered the deer management units in the Delta, Hills, and North Central. And it will be extended till Sunday, February 2nd. And the law that they quoted on this was that if the open deer season ends on a Friday, the commission already has the authority to extend it until 30 minutes after sunset on the following Sunday. And that's just to give hunters an extra weekend. But there's nothing mentioned in there about, oh, due to the freeze conditions and people couldn't get out, we're going to extend the hunting season. That's something that was already in place for them to act on, and the Mississippi Wildlife and Fisheries Commission did it. All right, we're coming back with Captain Daryl Carpenter right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's check in with Daryl Carpenter, where they had a snowstorm on Grand Isle this week, and, man, that is a very rare occasion. Daryl, did you check into the history of when the last time it snowed on Grand Isle was?
I've been asking, Don, and can't find a living soul that has really seen it. I'm hearing back, what was the record, back in the 1800s or whatever, I've heard it's had snow on it before, but nothing like what we had this time. I mean, we had full-out blizzard conditions. I mean, it's hard to say. I know the official estimate was somewhere around 8 to 10 inches of snow, but it's hard to measure it because it came with 30 mile an hour wind, so it was a full on blizzard, and it was a real light, fluffy snow. Had just as much under my house as I had out in the yard because it was all getting blown in. So yeah, we were iced in an ice skating ring there for a couple of days.
Yeah, I think that's what they call a drift. I'm not sure. I'm not a snow expert, but I think they call that a snow drift when it piles up like that. Well, what are the after effects? I guess there's a lot of people with broken pipes because of so many camps raised up off the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I'll be changing professions for the next week or so. I'm going to be a shade tree fire plumber because there's a whole lot of people that's needing pipes fixed. But, you know, the thing that's on our mind and like, you know, like everybody else and kind of like you opened the show is we're worried about what the fish kill is going to look like. I've seen some pictures of regional, you know, little localized fish kills. I've gotten word that there were some pretty significant fish kills, trout washing up on the beaches on Elmers and Fouchon. Haven't seen any pictures of it yet, though. Haven't seen it with my own eyes. It's just, like you, it's third-party reports at this point. But it's a little bit concerning. We had such a good year shaping up. It was going to be so good after last year that, you know, we hope that our new crop survives. We hope that those fish, you know, that were bordering on that 10, those last year fish that were 10, 11 inches coming into the season, we hope they survive real good. And we certainly don't want to lose a whole lot of those big fish that we had last year.
Absolutely. Well, has anybody ventured out since the freeze? Have you talked to anybody that's gone out and tried?
I haven't, Don. In fact, you know, the situation I'm in is the water is so daggum low that I don't even think I can get out of my canal right now. So, I mean, it's been one of those, like I said, it was brutal, not just the temperatures, but when you get down in those coastal waters, it was coming with 30-mile-an-hour winds. So I'm sure our wind chill factor was well below zero. Really hadn't talked to anybody that's been out because it's been, I think everybody went home, hunkered down, and, you know, protected their pipes for the most part.
Darryl, we were talking about jerk baits. You ever use jerk baits?
Rarely. I mean, over the last several years, I've gotten more into, you know, going back to my old roots as a bass fisherman and using more plastic and fake baits than live bait. But when I do, it's usually the Rapalas or the Yuzuris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Yuzuri's a great bait. I don't think I've ever found an artificial bait with sharper hooks than what comes on that Yuzuri.
And that's the part. Look. As a charter captain, you're rarely using those baits unless you're on the boat by yourself.
I know why.
Because
they're dangerous.
Yeah, you can't get it out of people's head that hey, you don't have to swing for the fences with every bite, you know, because those hooks are coming flying back at you when you do.
Yeah, and casting can be hazardous too, especially with those baits.
Yeah.
Well, Darryl, listen, still hoping that you and I can get together and do the spawning sheephead thing. That should be coming up pretty soon. We'll head out there to the new Gulf of America. That's a new hotspot for sheephead offshore.
Yeah, you know, Don, it's coming up. Just give me a call and we'll get it organized. And what it'll be, you know, this cold's going to set everything back a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know, come the end of this month, well, we're in the finals of January, but especially come mid-February into March, those sheephead will start stacking up real hard on those close-in rigs, you know, just off Grand Island, just off of Fouchon's Beach. It'll be just it's how many dead shrimp do you bring with you, you know, as far as how many fish you want to catch.
Right. Well, Darryl, if you see or hear of any fish kills or confirm them, please let me know. And ask people to send photos. You know, it's easy enough. Everybody's got one in their pocket on their cell phone. You can take pictures, and that verifies the species and location, and then we can get a better handle on it. But overall, from what I'm seeing now, I think fish kills to this point appear to be minor and nothing like in 1989. And, of course, time will tell, but it looks like we're going to come through this okay.
Yeah, and only time's going to tell, Don, and it's not just that. I mean, it's the forage species, too. You know, what's this going to do to the shrimp crop? We got to wait and see how quick it bounces back. Hopefully we don't get that other one in February like some of the long-range stuff is saying, because you need your forage, you know, you need your shrimp and everything else to have a healthy crop in order to sustain it all.
Darryl, besides my website, give them yours at Real Screamers and also your phone number.
Yes, sir. RealScreamers.com or 225-937-6288.
All right, and if you need a good plumber, give Daryl a call on Grand Isle. Daryl's Plumbing Service.
Yep. Got plenty of PVC glue.
There you go. See you next week, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Captain Daryl Carpenter. All right, we come back after the top of the hour break. We'll get to some more of your text messages. Also, Captain Mike Gallo, Born on the Bayou Report. Eric Mohabarak, I bet there wasn't a whole lot of people kayaking around in the icy waters. Ryan Lambert will talk some duck hunting, and we're going to get a report from out west. Our friend at Hackberry Rod and Gun, Captain Kirk Stansel, will join us. All that's still to come with the second hour. Thank you for participating and listening in the first hour. Hope you're back with us for another one right after this.